So we're all here for some reason or another because of this recent observation by EOT relating the group M24 to the K3 elliptic genus. Throughout the week, we've heard a variety of progress in math, physics, and moonshine. And what I'm going to talk about today is the still very mysterious case of umbral moonshine, of which this relation between M24 and the elliptic genus of K3 is only the first case. And so the main questions I'm going to try to answer are, what is the physical relevance of the other cases of umbral moonshine? For example, do they have some relation to K3 surfaces or string theory on K3 surfaces? And if they do, can this help us in finding a unifying structure behind all of the cases of umbral moonshine? And the way I'm going to do this is first by relating some of the natural structures that appear in umbral moonshine to the elliptic genus of singularities that, for example, a K3 surface can develop. So first I'm going to talk about the elliptic genus of these kinds of singularities, and then I'm going to sort of briefly review the connection between umbral moonshine and Niemeyer lattices, and talk about how through looking at the elliptic genus of these singularities, we can relate all cases of umbral moonshine to the K3 elliptic genus. And I'll end with some comments about this. Okay, so first let's talk about singularities of C2 that a K3 surface can develop. So, so there's an ADE classification of these types of singularities of the complex plane C2. They can be represented simply in terms of hypersurface in projective spaces. And when you try to resolve these singularities, you blow them up using some number of P1s. And the intersection matrix of the curves in the resolution yields some ADE Dinkin diagram, and thus the ADE classification. And about 20 years ago, there was a 2D conformal field theory description of these singularities proposed by Ugori and Vafa, as this, the following exact CFT. So it's you have some flat R51, and then there's some n equals 2 minimal model tensored with a non-compact coset model, which is often called the cigar theory, or bevolded by some z mod mz, which depends on the central charge of the minimal model. Or you can think of it as the Coxeter number of the corresponding root system. So for example, in the case of the A series, this just describes in string theory the Neerhausen geometry of M NS5 brains. And there's also an interesting work that I'm not going to talk about, but I think Samir will talk about a little bit with Jeff, where instead of considering this Minkowski space, you look at NS5 brains wrapped on K3 and consider the this CFT times the K3 CFT. Okay, so as I said, one can resolve these types of singularities by blowing them up. In this work by Ugori and Vafa, they described how this CFT that I wrote on the previous slide can be represented in a Landau-Ginzburg description with the following superpotential. So in order to compute the elliptic genus of these types of singularities, we need to understand both contributions, the one coming from the minimal model and the one coming from the coset model. And so I'll describe each of these individually first and then how you sort of put them together. Okay, so first n equals 2 minimal models. These theories are known to have an AD classification, and this is based on how you can combine the chiral and anti-chiral characters of the A11 Katz-Moody algebra such that you end up with a modular invariant, an overall modular invariant character. And the ways you can do this combination can be represented by some matrix which depends on the Coxeter number of the root system. And the central charge of the theory is given as follows in terms of the Coxeter number. Okay, so what is the elliptic genus of the n equals 2 minimal models? Well, we've heard, we've seen the elliptic genus mentioned many times, and here is the formula as a trace over states in the Ramon-Ramon sector weighted by the sum U1 charge for the left moving sector. And one can compute this using using old techniques in terms of minimal model characters in these matrices, which you use to combine the characters in order to get modular invariant quantities. And they can also be obtained by a free field computation in a Landau-Ginzburg description, which can be useful in some cases for understanding symmetries. And this was done by Witten about 20 years ago also. Okay, so now I'm gonna come to the elliptic genus of the coset model. Okay, and so this model describes the geometry of a semi-infinite cigar, which in physics language is often called a 2D Euclidean black hole and is mirror symmetric to another N equals 2 theory called Super-Liouville. This isn't super important for the elliptic genus, but the level of the coset model is related to the mass of the black hole, and the central charge of the corresponding theory is given as follows. So you see that if you combine the coset model with the minimal model, which has the minus sign here, you get something which has C hat equals 2, and that's the central charge of a K3 conformal field theory. So what kinds of states contribute to the elliptic genus for this cigar model? Well, since the geometry is non-compact, you can't in general expect that the elliptic genus is going to be modular invariant if you compute some manifestly holomorphic quantity. Or in other words, if you compute some quantity which is modular invariant, you can't expect it to be holomorphic because of the fact that there are both discrete states localized near the tip of the cigar, but also continuous states where the wave function spreads down the cigar. And then when you take the Witten index, the massive states don't necessarily cancel as they usually do.
The Witten index is completely localized.
The Witten index is. Okay. Yeah, but but in general, with a non-compact manifold, you can't expect to get a holomorphic quantity. Okay, and so in terms of representations of the n equals 2 superconformal algebra, the discrete states correspond to massless representations, which or short representations, which are annihilated by some supercharges, and the continuous one correspond to massive states. Okay, so if you can compute the elliptic genus in Hamiltonian formalism such that you only get the holomorphic piece of the quantity, it will only obtain contributions from the discrete part of the spectrum. And the building block of this part of the spectrum is this character in the Ramon sector, graded by minus 1 to the f.
What do you mean by that? I mean, The Hamiltonian certainly contains scatterings. I mean, the scattering states are eigenstates of the Hamiltonian, just an ordinary quantum mechanics. Why aren't they eigenstates of a lot in this conformal thing? I mean, the Hamiltonian.
Yeah, we were discussing this yesterday, actually. Yeah.
Why is it clear that from Hamiltonian formulas you shouldn't get the completion? Is that
Hamiltonian formal formulation of this, the hydrogen atom. The bound states and the scattering states are both eigenstates of the Hamiltonian. It's just the scattering states are not in L2, but they're in a.
Right, that depends. Right. So we entered sort of the discussion of what we call the Hilbert space.
Right, but in quantum mechanics, we usually include scattering states.
You can make wave packets.
It's an original space or something.
What?
You can make wave packets which are L2.
So we were just talking about how we should say this yesterday.
Do you know if there's a good way to say this?
Well, I think you can either do a Reed Hilbert space, or I think, as Greg said, you can just say that there are wave packets which are linear combinations of those things which are in L2.
I have the same question. Why don't they contribute to the Olympic game? That's mysterious.
So you think if one defines things properly, you should get the completion?
I think that's the claim of Jan Trost and Eguchi and Sabella.
Yeah, but they a lot
What's
of
the
them use
the contributions.
The sort of partition.
The path integral formulation, for sure.
No, but they also have a Hamiltonian interpretation.
Yeah, interpretation, but I mean, not really
if you're talking about a physical quantity, it shouldn't matter whether you use a Hamiltonian or a
Hamiltonian. Yeah, so. Well, okay. What we want to consider is the discrete part of the spectrum. And if you do compute the fully physical quantity, you'll get the non-holomorphic completion. Okay. So we're looking at the holomorphic part here.
I guess I have a question related to that, which is in these non-compact models. Of course, you can also think of the Olympic game as in Catherine's talk, there's characters of some bundle on the target space.
We don't know of anyone who's computed it in this way.
Can you think about the index densities maybe computed by an alien variant?
We asked some mathematicians about this.
Yeah, I've read this question to certain mathematicians and supposedly, hopefully, they're working on it.
But there is a case where you can make sense of it in terms of equivariant index.
Yeah.
In terms of the equivariant index on the non-compact part?
Yeah.
Is that being discussed? Because people told me that it's still sort of in the process of being defined.
None of us are mathematicians, but Samir and Sanjay Lee and I have a paper where we looked at this computation.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
For things like ALE.
Right.
And we didn't do a full analysis in terms of equivariant index theory, but we did do the analogous computation of the world using localization. And it's clear, I mean, if you just look at the first few terms and compare it to the equivariant index in space time, it's clear that it is. So there isn't a mathematically rigorous treatment. I think clear one could be made.
Yeah, so do you think it's correct that there should be, I'm sidetracking.
You need to have a U1 or U1 times U1 action in order to regularize things and talk about the equivariant index. So it doesn't apply to any non-compact manifold, but it applies to certain class of non-compact manifold.
Sure. So the question was what's the EQ comma Y?
We can talk about this after.
It's EQ comma YWZ
or something like that, where W and Z are Olympic variables for the equivariant
index.
Okay. Yeah. So. Okay. Let me just continue. Right, so it's pretty straightforward to work out the elliptic genus of the coset model of these at least this discrete part of the spectrum in terms of standard Mach modular forms, where this is some FL Lurch sum. Okay, and then one can, using these two pieces, derive the elliptic genus of the super coset theory coupled to the n equals 2 minimal model, which describes a singularity of type which is dictated by which kind of minimal model you're choosing and what level of coset theory you're picking, using an old orbifoldization formula. And this just involves taking the two components and orbifolding over this discrete group by summing over these torsion points. And one gets something which is Mach modular just because of the fact that this piece coming in is also Mach modular. Okay, and here I'm just describing the Mach modularity property of this function mu. So it's a holomorphic function with which you can add a certain piece, which is non-holomorphic, which is an integral of this function called the shadow. And then the overall function with a hat is modular, but no longer holomorphic. And this is the formula for the shadow of this particular function. Okay, so this is just a comment on how one would get something modular. I think it's pretty clear how one can get the modular completion, but a little less clear the interpretation of just the holomorphic part. Okay, so now I'm just going to come to reviewing some of the main components of umbral moonshine. And hopefully I can go kind of quickly because we've heard several talks about this. So first, the first component is the Niemeyer lattices, which are even and unimodular and positive definite and of rank 24. And these lattices were classified and have an AD classification due to Niemeyer. And they're determined by their root systems. And here's just a table with all of the 23 Niemeyer lattices, as well as their automorphism groups. I'll just say what these groups are on the next slide. So these umbral groups are generated by the automorphisms of the lattice modded out by the vial group, which reflects the roots. And these are the groups which will exhibit moonshine. And so, from the lattice, you can specify a number of groups because of the lattice automorphisms. And you can also specify a particular Mach modular form for each lattice, which is also based on the root system. So for each lattice, you can define a shadow function. And this depends on the root system through these matrices, which are the same matrices which control the spectrum of the n equals 2 minimal models. And with this knowledge of the shadow, you can then define special Mach modular forms, which obey this property such that they can be completed with this shadow, such that overall they're components of a Jacobi form of weight 1 and index m. And the conditions you have on these Mach modular forms are that you require a certain growth condition near the cusp at I infinity for each component. And you require a knowledge of the shadow. And then you can normalize them as follows. And so if you look at just these vector-valued Mach modular form pieces, this transforms with the, in addition with this basis of theta functions as a Mach Jacobi form. And this is the finite piece of a particular weight one meromorphic Jacobi form, which we learned from DMZ. And in a similar way, you can fix modularity properties of twining functions for all of these mock modular forms twined under some element of one of the automorphism groups of the Niemeyer lattice in a very similar way. And you can also, using the shadow and the growth condition. Such that you also have one mock Jacobi form for each conjugacy class in each automorphism group for each case of umbral moonshine. Okay, so now I'm going to talk about how we can relate all of these mock modular forms of umbral moonshine mathematically to the formula for the K3 elliptic genus. And then afterwards, we'll try to interpret this relation to some degree. So if you go back to the N equals 4 decomposition of the K3 elliptic genus, which I've written here, you get this piece coming from the short representations plus these positive numbers coming from the massive representations. And you can rewrite this in a suggestive form where you take 24 times this Appel-Lurch sum plus some mock modular form times these massive characters. So if we look at these two different pieces, you can roughly think of them up to sort of the minus 2, which appears in the mock modular form, as contributions from the BPS representations here and the non-BPS representations here. But another way you could think about this uses the relation between the formula for the short representations of these n equals 4 characters and the elliptic genus of an A1 singularity. And in fact, these are just equivalent. So in other words, you can also express this decomposition as a contribution from 24 of these A1 singularities and as a contribution from this mock modular form or mock Jacobi form.
Sorry, what is this elliptic genus of the A1 singularity?
That's what I computed in the beginning. It's the elliptic genus of the N equals 2 model, N equals 2 A1 model, tensored with the coset model.
So is this modular? Or?
No, it's the holomorphic part of what I computed. But you could write the same thing where you have the completion here and the completion there, and it would still cancel. So this provides an alternate interpretation, sort of a geometric interpretation of this decomposition.
So the interpretation is that the first term after completion is the elliptic genus of the singularity, and the second term is the rest.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Is there a good notion of the rest?
Well, that's what you want. I mean, some. Yeah, we'll provide like a partial sort of interpretation. And I can write this in this sort of more elegant way where you have the elliptic genus, which comes from a singularity piece plus some sort of orbifold of a Jacobi form, which can be written in this way. But this is essentially encoding the contribution from the mock modular form in umbral moonshine. And by the singularity piece, I just mean if you consider a Niemeyer lattice with the following root system, some number of A, D, and E components, we just sum the contributions from A, D, and E type singularities with the coefficient being the number of components in the root system. And so, as I said earlier, we can offer an alternative description of this decomposition as a contribution from 24 copies of A1 type singularities and some umbral moonshine contribution given by the mock modular form. And the really interesting thing is this type of decomposition holds for all 23 cases of umbral moonshine. So in for each of the 23 Niemeyer lattice, there are 23 ways of writing this decomposition. So first you replace the root system of the lattice with the corresponding configuration of singularities. And that is how you get the contribution of the singularities to the K3 elliptic genus. And the second part is you take the Mach modular form that you got from the Niemeyer lattice, encoding the automorphism group of the lattice, and you construct this piece, which is sort of the rest, after sort of an orbifoldization procedure.
It's yeah. I mean, I agree that that's a true equation, but the problem is it's true not just for the umbral phi-axis.
Yeah.
It's true for an infinite number of phi-axis.
But
it's
you wouldn't.
An identity between Jacobi forms.
Mm-hmm. But you wouldn't get integers here.
So I guess what Jeff means is that the second term.
Yeah. So
yeah.
Yeah.
If you try to convert this equation for phi-x.
Yeah, that's true.
So the second sum is zero for an infinite number. Yeah,
that's true.
So this, this identity does not single out the umbral.
That's true. That's true.
That's why we only started to find it interesting after doing the twining.
Yeah. So that's why.
You want to see if the twining gives you
Would that also have a huge kernel? It's any true Jacobi form, if you stick it into that operation, that operator has a name. That operator has a huge kernel. So
for most of the groups, not for all of them. For all of them, for most of them. But I mean,
well, okay.
After you go to, let's do the twining, and then maybe you want to.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's also, well, as I was going to say later, it's also exactly equal to the sum of the shadow times the component of the Mach modular form. So you could think of it in that way, and maybe that would make you happier, because that's not starting with some operator that has some huge kernel. I mean, the Twining does also have a huge kernel. Oh, Miranda was shaking her head.
What?
If you consider the twining, the operator does still have a huge kernel.
Yeah. I mean, the huge kernel, but the possibility is also infinite, right? Because you have,
But, okay. I just read an example of the second case here, which is that the case of the next Niemeyer lattice, 12 copies of A2, and so you can take the singularity contribution and this other piece here, and which encodes representations of 2.M12, and get back the elliptic genus of K3. And you can also define a twined version of this relation that Miranda was talking about, where you take the twined umbral Mach modular form, which is in this piece, and you twine the singularities. This comes from an understanding of the automorphism of the individual component Dinkin diagram. And you get back twine series, which you can try and interpret group theoretically. And so I'll just mention a few geometric consequences of this relation. So if you consider a conjugacy class G of any of the umbral groups, which obeys the sort of geometric condition of Mukai, that it has at least 5 orbits and 1 fixed point on the 24-dimensional representation, then whenever you get 2 Gs from 2 different umbral groups that satisfy this condition and have the same sort of 24-dimensional cycle shape, you get the same overall twined function. And this function will coincide with the geometrically twined elliptic genus of a K3 surface for these special cases where the conjugacy classes correspond to geometric symmetries. And so the interpretation for the classes which don't satisfy geometric conditions is much less clear. And in fact, as an example, this is the twine series for 2.M12, and what you notice is, so these are the conjugacy classes of 2.M12, and these are the twined functions overall labeled by conjugacy classes of M24. But what you notice is that for some cycle shapes, for example, these two, there is a corresponding element in M24 with the same cycle shape, but you don't get the same twined function back. So this is a way that you can sort of distinguish different cases of umbral moonshine via these twined functions.
And of course, there is also conjugacy classes that I just not
in. And yes, and there are conjugacy classes like this one, which just aren't in M24 at all. And so we propose this sort of interpretation of at least the geometric part. Well, that you can understand through the embedding theorems of Nikulin and his way that you can mark K3 surfaces by different Niemeyer lattices. So this involves, for a particular K3, if you consider its Picard lattice, then you can consider the sublattice of the Picard lattice, which for the generic case is just the Picard lattice itself. And you can define a marking of this K3 surface through an embedding of this lattice into a particular Niemeyer lattice. And the results of Nikulin are that, first of all, every K3 surface admits a marking by at least one of the 23 Niemeyer lattices. But also there are some sort of uniqueness results where he's shown that for each Niemeyer lattice with two exceptions, there exists a K3 surface that can only be marked by that lattice and not any other lattice. So there are certain K3 surfaces where only one particular Niemeyer lattice is sufficient, and this is true for all of the lattices, except for two, and the last two are conjectured. And also that for each Niemeyer lattice, any primitive sub-lattice, which can be primitively embedded into this K3 cohomology lattice, arises from the Picard lattice of a certain K3 surface. And so an application of this result is that for generic cases, a K3 surface that can be marked by a particular Niemeyer lattice has a configuration of smooth rational curves that one can think of as arising from resolutions of these type of singularities. And the singularities have to be given by subdiagram of the Dinkin diagram corresponding to the root system of the Niemeyer lattice in which you embed the K3 surface. And this is similar to what Anne and Katrin talked about in the case of the Kummer surface. So in that case, you can blow up all the singularities. You get 16 A1 type singularities. And this this lattice for the 16 singularities can be embedded into the first Niemeyer lattice 24 with root system 24A1. And then in this case, if M is a generic K3 surface which emits a marking by a particular Niemeyer lattice, then the geometric symmetry group of M is a subgroup of the symmetry group of the Niemeyer lattice, as you might expect. And so the interpretation of the decomposition of the elliptic genus, one can think of as acquiring the meaning of an enveloping symmetry group of the enveloping smooth rational curve configuration. So just to explain what I mean by that, if you consider the decomposition of the elliptic genus in the case of A1 to the 24th, you get some contribution from 24 A1 type singularities, and the umbral Mach modular form piece exhibits moonshine for the group, which is the automorphism group of this lattice, and then you can consider what kind of K3 surfaces you can embed into this lattice, and their symmetry groups will be subgroups of this automorphism group. And so you could consider other orbifolds, for example, T4 mod Z3 type orbifold, which has 9 A2 type singularities. And this can only be embedded in this second Niemeyer lattice. And therefore, the geometric symmetry group of this orbifold will always be a subgroup of 2.M12. Okay, and so I'll just make a few comments on this observation. So so one comment is that in some work in progress with Francesca Ferrari and Natalie Paquette, we find some evidence for the relation between different umbral moonshine groups and of for the case of index M and ZM type orbifold K3 sigma models. So as an example, in a Z3 type orbifold model, you might expect some connection to the M equals 3 case of umbral moonshine, which is related to the 12 A2 Niemeyer lattice. And what we find is that there's a for a particular model, there's an order 11 symmetry, which you can which only comes from the decomposition of the elliptic genus in terms of 12 A2 type singularities. And it's distinct from the order 11 twining that you find in M24, which you would find from viewing the elliptic genus as a decomposition into 24 A1 type singularities plus an umbral moonshine contribution. And okay, this is what I was saying before, which I think is sort of significant in relation to the problem of the kernel, which is that this function can also be written in the following way. And this is sort of uniquely specified by the umbral moonshine Mach modular forms. So you can consider this decomposition into the elliptic genus of singularity piece and an umbral piece. And this is mathematically equivalent to if you write it as a singularity piece plus some contribution from the umbral components of the umbral Mach modular form summed with their shadows. And so this sort of uniquely relates this the Mach modular form with the singularity part. Okay, and this precise quantity also appears in the space-time BPS index that Jeff and Samir computed. So if you have a function like this, though, it's very hard to sort of reconstruct each component of this vector-valued Mach modular form because there's not an easy way to invert this operation. But in the particular case of M equals 3, you can use Z2 properties of this function has two components, and there's a relationship between the conjugacy classes that relates sorry.
So I forget, what was ZXS? Was
that's just the singularity contribution.
So this was this at the left.
Yeah.
But then I don't understand this equation. The left-hand side is polymorphic in Z. And the right-hand side doesn't seem to be.
Yeah, well, okay, I'm considering the holomorphic part.
No, I mean, yeah, so the left-hand side is clearly holomorphic in Z.
Oh, uh-huh.
And no poles in Z.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, this...
So I don't understand this equation.
This has the... You have
Z seems to have poles in small Z.
No, well, this is a problem with the singularity definition.
Sorry.
Wait, are you asking about the ZXS?
So ZXS,
yeah.
Is that the upper lexem?
Not exactly. It what has a factor which is... It's exactly what you pull out when you.
It's a meromorphic.
I see. So it's not the upper
lexem.
It's the Abelard sum times the thing that you have to pull out.
I see.
Yeah. Just when you normally decompose the elliptic genus, it's the same thing. Right. So in this particular case, you can use properties which relate the different twined Mach modular forms in order to sort of invert this decomposition, where you consider the twining of the elliptic genus in this 12A2 way, And then, so if you define the twining function in this way, where you take the twined elliptic genus minus this twined singularity part, then you can rewrite the components of the umbral Mach modular form in terms of these twined functions, where you've subtracted off the singularity contribution. And so I'm just sort of going to end by saying, you know, it would be interesting to investigate to what extent this idea of enveloping symmetry group can be made precise and maybe confirmed by combining geometric symmetries at different points in moduli space, similar to how Anne and Katrin have done for the case of 24A1. Just to understand more generally the connection between the various cases of umbral moonshine and K3 surfaces. And I'll stop there.
More questions?
So this order 11 symmetry that mm-hmm. preserves n equals 2 or more or less?
Certainly preserves n equals 2. For n equals 4, I'm still thinking about it. Yeah, oh, you're saying that obviously it doesn't preserve n equals 4. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Okay, there are no other questions. Thanks again.